All right, back here in the Big Show live down here at Gillette Stadium. It is indeed Patriots Monday. Time for our weekly interview with the coach of the New England Patriots, head coach Bill Belichick. It's been doing, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Glenn, Steve, Pete, Fred. How are you guys doing?
Everybody's getting by here.
Having a good show today?
So it's far. Been fair.
Steve's
been
great.
Fair. Fred's talked a little too much.
Glenn's been annoying.
Fred has a C minus, and the rest of us are about a B so far. So.
Well, how do you take something like that? Obviously, defense played well again. Your offense seemed to play better, yet you leave a lot of points out there on the field. How do you take something like that? Is it just a work in progress here?
Well, I think every week there are things to work on and things that you do well that you want to reinforce and other things that you don't do as well that you need to improve on. And so that was the case yesterday. There are a lot of positives in the game, and there are always things that we can work on, do better, coach better, execute better, all those things. So we've looked at the films today, and we'll start getting ready for the Ravens, and I'm sure some of those things will apply, and some of them, there'll be some new things.
The amount of runs, was that in the game plan, or did it evolve that way?
I'd say it evolved that way. You know, we always go into the game trying to be balanced, mm-hmm. and sometimes we're more balanced than others. But it was good yesterday. We had some production early in the game running the ball. We picked up a couple short yardages. So I think it gave everybody a good feeling about the running game. It opened up the play-action passes, which then opened up the running game. So it was a good complimentary game for us offensively.
Coach, I for a second I thought it was Pete Shepard on the field because it was fourth down on the 24-yard line. Now, obviously, there's a big thought process involved. Run us through what was going through.
On your own 24. Right?
On your own 24, yeah. That's correct.
Well, I think the most important thing when you make a decision like that is you want to feel confident about the play. And we felt good about the play. Didn't feel good about the field position, but felt good about the play and the job that we'd been doing offensively. And we just didn't want to give them the ball back. I mean, you never do, but just felt like if we could make that yard. I think if you go for it in that situation, you got to feel like you're gonna score. And I know when you're 75 yards away, that's not the first thought in your mind is scoring, but. You know, if you think you're not going to make another first down, well, then you might as well go ahead and punt it. But if you feel like you can move the ball and score, and I did feel that way, that's why we did it. So we didn't want to give the ball back to Matt Ryan and company, and we just needed a few inches, and we felt good about the play, so we ran it.
We were talking about that as the play was unfolding because you've always said that the number one thing on your priority list in that situation is really liking that play. But in this situation, wasn't it riskier than normal? You must have loved that play. You must have felt pretty confident that play was going to work for you.
Yeah, I did. I felt like we were going to pick it up, and it was a little closer, really, than I thought it was going to be. You know, we had a little bubble there, and Nick got a good block on a linebacker. And I'm not sure why we didn't gain a little more than we did, really, because I felt like we were going at a good spot in the defense with a hard runner in Sammy Morris, a guy who always falls forward and gets gets an extra yard or so. It was closer than we thought it would be, but bottom line is we got it.
Psychologically, though, you don't want a team to start, if you punch them, they start moving the ball, the balance of the game could start slipping away from you because you started have some superiority. But when something like that happens, it's such a big lift to the plume. You'll call the guys over, hey, we're going for it, defense, they have faith, and you're going to stop them, and it brings your team up.
That's when it works.
Yes.
And when it doesn't?
But you know, there's not too often you do that. I said this is
right.
Certain situations where.
No, I don't think that's something you want to do every week. It just we didn't need very much, and I felt like we could get it. So.
But when you fake it sometime, now they're going to take you seriously. So you block out the signals and jump off sides. If people do it all the time and they never go for it, it's no fake.
Right.
You got to be happy with the penalty situation as opposed to the week before. Was it two yesterday?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it was the second week in a row, no defensive penalties. We had two penalties, one on the punt team and one on the motion penalty there on
Kevin.
Yes.
Yep.
That was real good. You know, anytime you can play pretty penalty-free, that just, you know, keeps you moving in the right direction offensively and doesn't give them those second chances against your defense and in the kick game. So that was very good.
Did they surprise you? They didn't blitz. They blitzed a few times, a couple corner blitzes, but primarily they're not a blitzing team.
Yeah, I think they did about what they normally do. They gave us a little bit of pressure, and they like to bring two off a side and a little bit of blitz zone. And they mixed it in there. Our line did a good job picking it up. Tom saw it and a couple times got the protection change to handle it. And some of those blitzes were in the running game, so it's not quite as obvious. But but they did pressure on a couple runs, and you know, but we handled those fairly well. I mean, we did a good job up front, the linemen and the backs did a good job on blitz pickup up there, and that was great.
And on the running game, the offensive line was getting real good movement on the down linemen and pushing them into the lanes for the linebackers. So they were, those power slips and driving them back, they had nice lanes to run in.
Yeah, they did. The backs, for the most part, got a chance to run downhill. They weren't having to dodge guys in the backfield and all that. They were able to build some momentum and get into the line of scrimmage. And you know, Fred and Lawrence and Kevin and Sammy, all of them, you know, ran with good power and were able to get their pads down and make some yards after contact. So it was good.
We saw McGowan a lot on Gonzalez, but he was getting help. Were you changing things up constantly? Was Gonzalez seeing different looks in that help?
We doubled him, you know, a decent amount of the time. There were times when we didn't have him doubled. There were times we played zone coverage and we just played zone, whoever he came to. But there were times, especially in some critical situations in the red area and on third down, where we want to make sure that we got good coverage on him. So we doubled him up, and usually Brandon was involved in that. Mm-hmm.
You have a quarterback, Ryan, coming in, 108 rating, quarterback rating, however they come to that conclusion. But He wasn't getting clean looks that downfield. It seemed like his first look was taken away, and he was frustrated after the game. He said he had a good game plan. What was the game plan for Ryan, and how did you know what to take away from the initial snap?
Well, I think when you play the Falcons, you know, three things you have to be most concerned about is the running game with Turner, and then the passing game with Gonzalez and Roddy White, and they run different passes. They run drop back passes. They run a lot of boots, but those two guys are a big focal point of the passing game, and so you've got to do a good job on them. And for the most part, we did. You know, Jenkins is a good receiver, and Peel can catch, and they can throw the ball to other guys. But those two guys have done a lot of damage in the first couple of weeks of the season. Roddy White did a lot of damage last year, and that was also the case in preseason when the when White and Gonzalez were in there, they were kind of go-to guys in the passing game. So we were trying to, you know, do a good job on them.
On the bench yesterday, that's as animated as I've ever seen Tom Brady publicly after whatever it was, misfires, miscommunication, whatever you want to say, who was at fault, the quarterback, the receiver, not in sync. What did you say to him when you went over to him? They showed it on TV on the bench, and he was ready to, you know, chew neutronium. He was very upset.
Neutronium?
Yeah. It's a Star Trek thing.
Oh, God.
Well, you know, I think anytime you get down in the red area and don't score a touchdown, I think you're always a little disappointed offensively. You know, competitively as a coach, as a player, you want to get the ball in the end zone. And so we tried to talk about some things that we felt like would help us get it in the next time we got down there.
Mm-hmm. Will Hyde showed up as a surprise scratch on Sunday morning. Personal issues or a team-related injury?
He had a little mishap Sunday morning, mm-hmm. and wasn't able to play.
Hold on, he's back here today though, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he was here yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, he just wasn't able to go.
No, there's a story out now, and obviously his agent wants to keep the story private. But as far as you're concerned, right now he's back and everything is fine. I think what people were questioning was their disciplinary action taken. Was that the reason?
No, it wasn't a disciplinary. He physically just wasn't able to play.
Now, Coach, when the defensive backs now seem to be playing on the same page, it looks like there's more speed closing on the ball. You see the cohesiveness coming as this progresses?
Well, sure.
Sanders was back, obviously.
Yeah, I think it gets, you know, your execution should get better on a weekly basis. Doesn't mean, you know, you necessarily play better as a team all the time, or you hold a team to less points, as you know the other teams are improving too. But I think we're improving in our communication. I think we're improving in our overall execution, our reads, our techniques, our use of leverage, and the help that we have in pass coverage. And we need to keep working on it. But I think Sean and Lee did a good job, outside, and then when Terrence came in the game and some of our sub defenses and Sean moved inside. You know, that was and Brandon, those guys, you know, they held up well.
Are you seeing improvement with Gary Guyton in his second start?
Gary's done a good job for us. He really has. I thought he played well last year when he had an opportunity to play. Unfortunately, he missed, you know, the last couple games, and And then this year, you know, he's had a good camp, good preseason, and I think he's played well. You know, he's made a lot of plays. He's handles the signal calling and some of the checks in the front seven there at the line of scrimmage, and he's a smart kid. He runs well. He's a good tackler. He's got a pretty good feel in pass defense and in pass rush. He is on the field for every play, and he's done a good job for us.
It seems like there was a lot of turning around and talking, communicating between the DBs and linebackers. Sometimes that can be confusion. Sometimes it can just be communication. Was it yesterday?
Well, there were some situations where by their formations, when they bunched people up real closely together, particularly on third down, you know, a lot of times they had all their receivers within maybe 3 yards of the offensive tackle, or three on one side and then motion a 2x2 on the other side. So we were just trying to get our communication straightened out on that as to who was who, and even though Gonzalez is a tight end, he's really a receiver, and just trying to make sure that we everybody was on the same page. We didn't really have many communication issues on defense in this game, and it was a hard game because they used a lot of different personnel and they moved them around. It was a couple times that we weren't either part of the signal or the call that I was involved in on sideline or something like that. But it wasn't too much of that. But they put a lot of pressure on. It wasn't a team like Buffalo that basically came up and lined up pretty much in the same formation most of the time. This is a lot harder than that.
Surprised they didn't take more shots downfield?
Well, I think they had a couple teed up down there, and Merriweather did a good job of staying over the top, especially of Roddy White. But, they had an opportunity to get down the field a couple times at Jenkins. They hit that one on the sideline. It was a terrific throw by Ryan. I thought Lee had great coverage on him, and Jenkins just, made a one-handed catch on the outside right on the sideline. It was a heck of a play. He caught the touchdown there that, fortunately was called back on the offensive interference. But, I think that when they had it felt like they were getting single coverage outside or we were pressuring, they tried to go down the field.
Quick two-part question. Joey Galloway, how concerned are you about him? And the other part of that is a guy like Greg Lewis, what exactly was it about him? Since you gave up a draft pick for him, but what about him? What didn't he bring to the table that led you to believe that he couldn't help this team?
Well, I think there are a lot of players that aren't on this team that could help this team, Pete. I think that we had to release several players at the end of the year or traded a couple at the end, at the final cuts there right around that time, that if we were allowed to keep 60 players, they would be on the team and they probably would be contributing. Unfortunately, you have to, go with what the roster limit is, and then you have to make your game day decisions based on that. So, given the whole situation, everything in receiver and there's really a lot of moving parts and there also is the whole you have to think about the entire team, not just the receivers, but how that affects other positions and where you can have other depth. In the end, all those decisions are just based on what we feel is best for the team. Certainly trading a player like Seymour, he could have helped us this year, there's no doubt about that, but you have to make decisions based on what you feel is the best for the team, and not just this year, but also, to a certain degree, not that we're in a rebuilding program here, but, you have to kind of keep your eye on what's down the road, too. So it was a tough decision.
How tough is it to have an older player like Galloway come into a completely different system? He ran different routes and did different things for the last team he was with, and to get acclimated to this type of offense, he seems to be having a little bit of difficulty. We don't have the luxury of knowing the play, but it just seems like he's not running as quickly in the routes or dropping some passes or not being in the right place. Is it harder for a guy that's been established in a certain system so long and to come to this and get adjusted?
Well, again, I think any time a player comes to a new team and, speaking specifically with the Patriots, that, there's always an adjustment period, and sometimes it's longer than others, and there's, I don't think there's any way really to know what that's going to be. Randy Moss came here and I would say adapted pretty quickly. Other players have come and it hasn't happened that quickly, or in some cases not really well enough at all. So it's hard to tell it's how that's going to go, but the thing that I would say is that the most important thing is that everybody's working together trying to improve it. Not just new players, but old players, and players that have been here and players that haven't. And we just have to collectively as a team just do a better job in our overall design of the plays and execution of the plays and just be a little bit more efficient. And I think we saw a little bit more of that on third down this week. And we need to do a better job of it in the red area and on some of our downfield throws. You know, we had a couple of shots down the field yesterday that we were really close on to hitting big plays, and we just couldn't quite connect on them. So we'll work harder to try to make those happen if we get another opportunity on them.
Talk about Randy Moss. Did you detect that he was having any issues at all with that back yesterday? Seemed to have a terrific game, though there are some observations apparently that he quit on quite a few plays. See that. I don't know, maybe you saw it in the sideline, but.
Well, I thought Randy had a real good game. I thought he had, not only receiving, but also, made some big plays for us on third down. Did a good job blocking, like on Kevin's draw play there at the two-minute warning. You know, he came in and made a nice block there on Peterson. We ended up gaining about 12 or 13 yards on right at the two-minute warning there. So I thought he did a good job. He caught a bunch of passes, blocked. Is he stiff and sore today? I'm sure he is, like a lot of other players. So. I don't know that anybody came out of that game that played in it without something, but I thought he did a good job for us yesterday. So in all phases of the game, he was a guy that we gave a game ball to, and I think he deserved it. You know,
he got a game ball yesterday.
He did.
I thought you were cutting him.
Apparently you won't be cutting him today.
The rumors of his demise are greatly exaggerated.
Well, let me ask you this, because we had this conversation last year. You tried to explain it one time, and Randy was getting some criticism out there, because people were talking about...
Jets game last year.
Was it the Jets game last year? That he was slowing down on routes out there, that he was giving up on certain routes, and you were kind of explaining to us that in many cases, it's a change of speed. There are certain things that he's designed to do out there. And you were talking about how great he was and how he presented other opportunities for you on the field because of what he did. Can you explain that again? Because there seems to be this criticism. You're telling me that the game ball went to Randy Moss, and there are people apparently that are critical, claiming that the guy was a no-show yesterday in this game. I don't know what they were observing. But can you explain that, what you said last year? Because you obviously know what he's supposed to do. We don't.
Yeah, well, I think yesterday – We had a lot of players play well, but, we sometimes select a few guys that really stand out and, have them present them with game balls. And yesterday, offensively, it was Fred and Randy and Matt Light. And,
thank you, Coach.
In Randy's case, there are times where, first of all, just the way Randy plays, his playing style, he's long, you know, he's long legs, and he doesn't turn him over real fast like a Wes Welker or a Troy Brown or somebody who's
quick feet.
Yeah, takes four or five steps, and Randy takes maybe two steps, and they cover the same amount of distance. So a lot of times you look at Randy, and it just you don't think he's running as fast as a shorter guy who's turning over quicker. But then when you watch the guy running with him, you can't keep up with him. So he's got a deceptive gait, and I think that his change of pace is hard for defensive backs to read. It's hard as a coach sometimes to read, when we've played against him and try to, coach your defensive backs about, how he's running routes and how he's setting them up and all that. He's deceptive, and I think that's one of his strengths, and he knows how to use his speed.
Well, he set his guy up on a great play he made on the sideline yesterday because he slowed up. The corner stopped, and then he just took off.
Yeah, he's very good at that, and he's very good at down the field plays of going at a speed and being able to accelerate and run past the guy and he was behind the defense two or three times yesterday, and we just missed on a couple of those long plays. So, that's kind of his style. I think he plays with good effort, and I think he plays with good toughness. He blocks well for a receiver. I've coached a lot of receivers, and you don't say that about all of them. But he's in fact our receivers overall, hustle and compete pretty good in the running game, and he does a good job of it.
So the trained eye of this reporter that broke down every play and said that Randy was dogging it on certain half the plays could probably be mistaken.
I thought Randy played well yesterday. I thought he played hard, and he came through for us time after time after time, including on the last play of the game on fourth and one where, he and Tommy connected on a little route adjustment there. The corner was off, and
put his hand up.
Tom zipped it out to him, and it was an easy first down on fourth and one. So, you know, those are plays that being smart, being aware, knowing the situation, and being on the same page with the quarterback, you know, give you an opportunity to sometimes make hard plays look easy and take advantage of opportunities. And Randy did that yesterday. I think Tom did at times too.
Is it going to be 3 weeks or 6 weeks for Vince Wilfork's upper extremity injury? I haven't checked my sources yet, so feel free to inform me.
He didn't check with me yet.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. You know, we didn't practice today. We won't practice tomorrow, so we'll see where everybody is on Wednesday. And as I said, I think there are a number of players that came out of this game with some bumps and bruises. And when we go out to practice on Wednesday, we'll put them out there and see who can do what and list them on the practice report and go from there.
When you have an ankle that big, if you sprain it,
it's a big sprain.
It's a big sprain.
It's a lot of blood flow.
But, you know, the backup came in and played pretty well. Good quickness. And
We got some plays from, you know, Myron came in and Mike Wright played in there. Ron played a few plays inside there. So, I thought overall our defensive line, did a pretty good job of, you know, we rotated some people in there, had them at different spots and all that, but I thought they held up pretty good against a real good running game. I mean, Falcons
are
very physical, and Turner's an excellent back.
All right, let's take a 90-second break. We'll come back. We'll look at this week's opponent, the unbeaten Baltimore Ravens, coming up next with the coach. All right, back here in the Big Show, it is Patriots Monday. We're live down here at Jets Gillette Stadium with the coach, Bill Belichick. And, of course, this week it will be
coach
you'll be
almost
able to say
fainted.
It. What's that again?
Your coach almost fainted. You said we're here at the Jets.
I was just trying to wake
what
you up.
What is wrong
that's
with
all.
You?
I was just what do you think what's
we
wrong
get on the
you?
Same page as the rest of us. You've been off all show.
You're missing your reads. I'm not sure what's wrong with you.
Yeah, the timing route. You're throwing the wrong pass.
Don't you know where the back of the end zone is?
Hey, listen, it's a work in progress, right, coach?
You'd be
a few weeks to get this going.
We won't know where you are until about 8 weeks into your show. So.
Well, you guys all thought we were playing the Ravens 2 weeks ago. That's all I heard all week, Baltimore.
No, we were raving about the team.
So now we can actually talk about Baltimore. But I want to start on the offensive side because we always talk about defense with Baltimore. But it's interesting now with Rice and McGahee, and Kelly Washington has found a home apparently down there as well in Baltimore. They're scoring a lot of points right now. They're one of the top scoring teams in the league. Is Joe Flacco that much of an influence? Is he changing this entire offense around right now?
Well, I think he's playing with a lot of confidence this year. He's doing a good. He's very similar to Matt Ryan. Accurate, makes good decisions. A lot of poise in the pocket for a young player. And he's got some good receivers, Todd Heap, and of course Clayton and
Mason.
So Kelly's done a good job for him, and he's got good backs. They move the ball around. They similar to Atlanta. They run a lot of different personnel groups, a lot of different looks, a lot of different formations. So we'll have a lot to get ready for there. But he does a good job. He can manage all that. He's probably a little more athletic than Matt Ryan. You know, runs fairly well, and he can get out of the pocket. And not that he's looking to run, but he can run.
You see a big difference from last year's offense to this year's offense?
Well, I just see him more willing to. I think they were. Less willing last year to open it up to the degree that they have this year. Let's put it that way.
Necessity too. They've been defense hasn't been a stout. San Diego's pumping all yards at them.
Yeah, I mean I'm not sure about that, but I think they're confident in their offense. They're confident with putting the ball in Flacco's hands and doing different things, and he's delivered for them. So I'm sure they're going to keep doing it.
They use Rice a lot. They throw the ball to him, and then they use McGahee in the red zone. Is that pretty much how they're working the runners?
Yeah, they mix those guys in a little bit, and Rice isn't really the short yardage guy, but he plays on all downs, and he's good on third down.
Is he like Drew Jones? Is he that he's like 5'7", yeah, 5'8"? Is he a lot like that?
I think he's a better receiver, and he's a better he's better in the passing game than Jones Drew. I think Jones Drew maybe is a little bit stronger, a little bit lower body strength, but Rice is kind of like. Not quite the Kevin Falk in a passing game, but maybe Kevin Falkish, that type of a player. Very good runner, good vision, good instincts, good hands, good receiver. Doesn't have the straight line speed of, maybe some backs, but I'm not saying he's slow, but I mean, he's just not a, he's not a 4-4 kind of back. Maybe a little quicker than he is fast, but very good vision, good balance. Can do a lot of things. He's a very versatile player. And you know, McGahee is a little bigger. Probably has maybe a little bit more straight line speed. And not that McGahee can't play on third down. Just Rice is probably a little bit.
But McGahee,
better.
Like you said, is more of a straight ahead guy. He's not nifty. Rice is nifty when he's very moving, changes direction. He looks really fast because his feet
cuts,
are moving.
Yeah.
His little feet are moving 100 miles an hour, and he can dodge. Where McGahee's going to find a hole and power through it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rice has some of that kind of quickness like Kevin has. You know, the ability to just make guys miss in a hole and in a short space.
Very good offensive line.
Big, yeah, big offensive line. And a lot of high picks there, you know, Orr and Gaither at tackles and Chester and Grubbs there at guard. And then, of course, they picked up Burke at center. You know, it was a very experienced player inside there. And they're very athletic and they can – they can run a pass block. Like I said, there's a lot of first and second round picks there on that line.
They've got a new defensive coordinator. Actually, isn't it his first year with the team too, right? I think it is, Madison. Anyway, are they running the same defense pretty much than they were before, same style?
Similar. I think they've toned it down a little bit from some of the blitz packages and some of the looks that Ryan ran. But I would say that it's similar, but not quite as exotic maybe as some of the stuff that Ryan ran last week with the Jets.
Well, that's the personnel you acquired. It's tough to change. Even if you want to change it all at once, you have a personnel that was set towards Ryan's mindset into that blitzing package.
You know, they just seem like they're a little less inclined to run some of the exotic blitzes that Ryan runs. But they, you know, a lot of the same cast of characters there. You know, they're very good up front, you know, with Nagata and Price and Kelly Gregg and on the edge there with Johnson and Suggs. Suggs is a great pass rusher, and of course Ray Lewis in the middle, and Ed Reed is a big factor on everything. You got to really watch out for him in a deep part of the field. Landry's a good safety, and they got Fabian Washington, and Carr comes in on nickel situations. They do a good job out there at corner.
Is Reed the
Foxworth.
Best? Is Reed the best safety in the league?
He
brings the heat.
He's excellent. He can do so many things for him. He's great in a deep part of the field. He can play man coverage. He's explosive with the ball in his hands, and seems like he ends up with it a fair amount of the time.
He anticipates things well.
Extremely well, and is fast and very fluid, and is a tough kid, can tackle and can blitz. He's got great instinct, great feel for the game back there. He's a guy you have to know as a quarterback. I think you have to know where he is on every snap. You better know where he is, because if you're not paying attention, he'll end up with the ball.
How about for the wide receivers, though? Because Reed and guys like him and like Polamalu are such special safeties. How much additional pressure is on those receivers that they have to be aware of where he is at all times because they're so special and quick?
Yeah, I think it's more the quarterback than the receivers. I think the receivers run their routes based on the coverage or, you know, the look that they get, and if there's an adjustment they have to make, then they make it. But I think the quarterback's got to be careful, because if it doesn't matter what the coverage is, if Reed knows where the ball's going, he'll jump it and he'll leave his responsibility. And I don't want to say he guesses. I think he anticipates, but he's usually right. You know, some guys guess, and most of the time they're wrong. He's a guy that anticipates, and he's almost always right. So he's very dangerous back there. I mean, he's a turnover guy. He's an impact player.
Lewis still have all it takes. It looks like that we watched in San Diego when he made that. It looks like it was just a read and a run through on that stop on fourth down.
Right, but he never comes off the field either. I mean, he's out there for all down and distance personnel groups and all that. Very instinctive, again, similar to Reed. Very instinctive. Seems to kind of know what the play is a lot of times before the ball snapped. It's great nose and anticipation for the ball, and of course, great leadership out there, and a very aggressive and passionate playing style. And I think the whole defense, you know, feeds off that as they should. And he's a very passionate player.
How does it help that you played the Jets 2 weeks ago? I know the personnel's different, and you said they're not quite as exotic as what Ryan threw out there. The fact that you've seen it 2 weeks ago, so you've had a little primer on it, plus you're playing at home, so you're not dealing with the noise factor as well and the communication issues.
Well, I'd say the big difference between the Jets and the Ravens is just the personnel up front. In the Ravens, front seven is probably about as good as it's going to get, you know, with the players they have up there. They're big, they're physical, they run well. They're very hard to run against. They can rush the passer. They blitz. They're tough matchups. So I think that's really you know, what separates them from probably most other defenses in the league. And, you know, of course, in the back end there, you know, with Reed, that takes care of a lot of their problems in the passing game. Plus, it's hard to get the ball off. I mean, they just, you don't have a lot of time thrown against these guys. And I don't know if they need to blitz a lot. Not that they don't blitz. They do blitz, but it isn't like they need to blitz to get pressure. They can get pressure with, you know, Price and Nagata and Suggs and Jared Johnson and Barnes and all those guys. They get a lot of pressure.
That was my next question. If you don't have the blitz and you can get pressure with your front four or five, you save your ability to keep, you know, flood the zones and have extra DBs out there.
And they get quite a bit of pressure with the four guys they have rushing.
Just got to feed them, which would be expensive.
The God has turned into quite a defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman.
He is. He's a force. He's an enormous man, and he's hard to move, and he's very athletic for his size. I don't know. He must be 350, but he's...
To look at him, you wouldn't think that. I mean, but watching him run around, it's amazing how quick he is off the ball and change the direction.
He's a very powerful guy and a pretty athletic guy, too.
Pete mentioned that you've signed Terdell Sands. We just looked him up on the internet. He doesn't fit on my screen.
It's like a sandstorm.
I mean, yeah.
He's a big man.
Yeah.
He's a big man.
He does not fit on the screen. This guy's gigantic. 6'7", and how? What's the weight?
They don't know.
Oh, he's got to be 350, 360.
Yeah, like I'm.
What do you weigh him on?
Like I'm just 300. He's 360, like I'm just 300.
Prescott Burgess is gone, and Terdell Sands is in.
Right. Well, this is something that we've been working on for a few days here. Sands came in at the end of the week. We worked him out and spent some time with him, and we're able to work out something last night. And so, you know, we'll put him into that defensive line group and see how it goes. And you know, again, I think he's a guy that he's a big player. He's got a lot of power. He's, you know, been with Oakland and pretty athletic guy for his size. And so we'll work him in there and see what, you know, if there's a, you know, an opportunity for him here.
Perfect candidate for Fred and Steve's. See what can he for a stake.
He's a perfect spokesperson for. I don't think the coach wants to have a spokesperson.
No, but he's not a fat slaw. I mean,
he's a big guy. I mean,
6'7".
The only other guy I've coached that size, I think, is Orlando Brown.
Yeah, he's
and
big.
That's, you know, that kind of big. Yeah. Block out the sun kind of big.
Josh was like that a while ago.
That is pretty enormous.
Yeah. You know, generally, if you're enormous and just stand there, you're useless. But if you're enormous and can move, it's a much different story because enormous gets chopped down pretty easily by offensive linemen. And if you can't, you know, Raiders always liked those giant guys, even way back when, big, giant, tall guys that didn't move real well, but just stood up and blocked the sun out so the quarterback couldn't see anything.
Well, most of those guys that can't move aren't in the league. The ones that are in the league, and I heard this saying my second year in the league, and I think it's true. The bigger they are, the harder they hit.
Yeah. I'd imagine.
We threw this out earlier through three games. I know it's only three games, so it's a small sampling. You guys have had 77 more plays out there on the field, which is amazing because you haven't had a lot of turnovers ignited by your defense, which would probably account for a high number. Is that a positive, but is it also a negative in that you look at that and you see that you're not getting into the end zone, you're leaving too many points out there on the field, that the red zone really right now is preventing you from taking that next big leap? That's a lot of plays, isn't it? In three games, 77?
Well, it's, again, the number one thing offensively is points and scoring, and so it's not time possession, it's not yards, it's how many points you have, and so... You know, if we can score from further out, that'd be great. You know, it's not about running a lot of plays. It's about finding a way to get the ball in the end zone. So, you know, some kind of combination between hitting big plays, whether that's in the running game or downfield passes or whatever it is. And then when we do get down there, if they kind of bleed and, you know, let us and we're able to move the ball down the field, then when we get it close to the goal line, we got to, you know, find a way to get those last few yards and get it in. So, you know the number of plays is a little bit misleading, but it is. I'm not denying it. It's just I don't think it's necessarily a function of good offense. I think it's just a function of some circumstances that I'm not sure what they really add
right,
up to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure that it was a good thing because you'd think you'd be scoring a lot more points if you're getting that many opportunities, especially when the defense hasn't forced that many turnovers in the first three games. That number just
– Well, and the other thing, the defense really – hasn't really given up a lot of big plays. No. You know, sometimes you give up one or two plays on defense and you're back out on the field on offense, but you've kind of like the Miami-Indianapolis game the other night where Indy didn't run very many plays, but they gained a ton of yards on those plays, and that you know, translated into a lot of plays for Miami and a lot of time of possession, but it was a lot of points for the Colts too. So that's really what we're looking for. We're looking for points.
Yeah. You know, when the field shrinks, if you can score from deep, obviously, but when you get down into 10-yard line, everyone's near the line of scrimmage. Things happen much quicker. You got to be much more precise. You know, guys can, linebackers and defensive backs can stay close to the line of scrimmage because they only have to back up 10 yards or 12 yards.
Right, and the best thing is to be able to run the ball in, and that way you don't have to throw in those tight spaces. But as you say, they get closer. Those defenders get closer to the line. It's more of them you got to block or deal with anyway. And if you can't run the ball in, then you got to throw it, and you're throwing it in less space. So it's everything's got to be, you know, it's got to be good.
One more thing, O-line seemed to block very well last week against Atlanta.
I think our offensive line did a real good job against Atlanta. And, you know, Atlanta's they're a fast defense, and you know, we did a pretty good job of not allowing penetration and giving the backs a chance to get going downhill, and we had to throw the ball. For the most part, we had time to throw it. So the overall mix and balance was good, and the offensive line did a great job of you know, staying firm on the line of scrimmage and not letting Atlanta penetrate. Whether they penetrate in the running game or the passing game, either one's bad, but they, for the most part, did a good job of not allowing that either way.
All right, Bill, nice win. Good luck on Sunday. We'll see you back here on Monday.
All right, sounds good, man.